coming next to Business Bunker Show with your hosts Paul Andrews and Jules Serkin.
Afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 3U277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello.
I had a very speedy trip in today.
You did what?
A speedy trip in today.
You haven't been on that again, have you? I've told you about that.
I do take the old...
At your age, darling, you need to give it up.
Especially at your age. But yeah. I do take, of course, the lion's mane, organic lion's mane, very good for your brain. It's healthy. You know about lion's mane, yeah? Organic lion's mane?
No, I'm a Leo. Why would I know about lion's mane?
I can tell from your...
Lion's mane. They're ice lollies, aren't they?
No, I think that's lion's mane.
Oh, yeah. What did you say?
Mr. Whippy. Do they still have lion's mane?
I don't know.
Because that was a nice ice cream, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Gobstoppers in the...
No, Lion's Mane used to make lollies, like, you know, like walls and all the rest of it, rockets. Well, I don't know if they're still around.
I used to love a rocket. In fact, when my mum used to... I used to go to church when I was young, on my own.
Really?
My mum and dad weren't religious. So I think I got sort of pulled in.
So why did you go?
I don't know. I used to go with my friend Karen Fuke. We were about 8. And we used to go on our own to the Elim Church. And I think we got roped in somehow. We got a leaflet.
Right.
And my mum and dad were worried that I was going to, you know, like sign...
Become a nun.
Or something like that. I think they'd rather I'd become a nun. When I ran off my Egyptian when I was 17 to Cairo, I think they wished I had stayed at Elim Church.
Yeah.
But anyway, long story short, I used to... they used to give me sixpence or two, what would it be, 2.5p or something, for the collection box. And I used to say, either on a worn-up whip or a rocket, depending on the weather, of course.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, meekly go home and say that I put it in the selection box. I didn't go to church for long. You know, it's about...
You didn't go to church at all, did you?
I went down then.
You went up the sweet shop.
It was called The Cabin.
Yeah.
Little sweet shop. I remember it well in Essex. And what I was going to say was my new husband, I was having my little egg and bacon this morning, which I cooked, even though I'm rushing off, you know, and have to walk dog, feed dog, find the choo-choos, Sarah. So he said, "Have you got on the show?" Because he always tries to be involved, you know. And it's ridiculous because he doesn't know.
He doesn't know who they are when you tell him.
He only knows Africans, you know, Nigerians, and his clients. So you know, United Nations, that sort of thing. So anyway, I said, "Well, we've got Sarah," and I said, "And you know about her because dogs, you know, because Sarah and I tweet dog pictures and things."
Lots of
dogs. Little spaniel you've got, haven't you?
Yeah, two spaniels.
Is it a water spaniel?
A Brittany spaniel and English Springer spaniel. But she thinks she's a water spaniel.
I got told off for a really bad joke about that the other day.
What, Springer spaniels?
No, about dogs.
Well, let me just tell you this. So the new husband, then you can tell me your joke. So the new, because I'm waiting with bated breath, of course. So the new husband said, "So I said, got Pharaoh, her of the Brittany spaniel and the Springer spaniel that thinks it's a water spaniel." And I said, "And we've got Mercedes on." And he said, "Oh, can you tell him about our AdBlue problem?"
Right.
I said, "It's not Mercedes, that
it's Mercedes, not Mercedes.
It's Mercedes." Very clear. I know nothing about cars.
Exactly.
Nor the Mercedes.
No, especially lookers. Anyhow, once they've sold you the car, when they're selling you a car, they fawn over you. You get water.
My new car's just been recalled as well.
What, your BMW?
Yeah.
I just saw it out there, actually, as I was parking. I'm right behind you, so careful when you leave.
You haven't damaged it, have you?
No, I was very careful of your bumpers.
Yeah.
I don't think it's got bumpers, is it, your car? Yeah. It's got a great big rubber tyre around it, I thought.
Yeah.
What's it being recalled for?
Some software problem with the battery.
They're far too clever, aren't they?
Yeah.
Anyhow, so I had to say that Mercedes is actually a drama therapist, and we're going to hear all about it today.
Absolutely.
I'm going to hear, no doubt, Springer Spaniel stories and SWAT Greyhound stories.
And
tell me about your joke.
Oh, yeah, no, I'll get slaughtered for this. I just said that, have you seen the South Koreans have produced a new meat-free snack food? It's called Not Poodle.
Not Poodle. That's good.
It's
not,
quite good.
Yeah, that's quite good. Did
I'm not going to validate that with a laugh.
Did you think of that yourself?
Oh, of course.
I don't think you did. The best joke you ever did was, of course, last week.
What about
where I was talking about Ushuaia, where I went in Ibiza, this big club, with my mother, who's 82, Ruth.
She's 91.
Oh, yeah, sorry, she's 92.
She's lying.
She's 92. Well, she's
just
easy
track.
She's 93 in October. Mm. So she was dancing in Ushuaia to the house music, which I hate, but my mother liked it. So I had a hangover from my birthday, so I said, can we go home now? And she said, I couldn't get her out. But why was I telling you that? I can't even...
about my budget joke.
Oh, yeah.
Need to do it
so
again.
So I met this lovely DJ called Paris, who does a set at WikiWoo.
Paris and Ibiza?
Yeah, Paris is his name. And he does a set at WikiWoo, or WikiPoo. WikiPoo, this hotel owned by Lineker, I think. Graham, what's his name? Gary Lineker. It's all pink, this hotel. It was totally up my thing. It was all pink with lanterns and people strutting around like ostriches in tall kilts and things. Sort of thing you'd get at Mercedes drama, probably. Yeah. Anyway, so Paris said to me, I said, I really don't like this house music, boom, boom, boom. And he said, come to my set, Jules, because I play a lot of, reggae and soul, more my cup of tea. And then Paul leapt in and went, well, yeah, badger.
She said, come to my set, and I go, why, is he a badger? And
straight away.
And everybody corpsed.
We corpsed.
Yeah.
And it was his best joke since 1066, I thought.
I thought Not Poodle was better, but never mind.
It's
anyway.
The way that you tell him.
Yeah, it is. You're right, Sarah. Yeah. We've got two fabulous guests on the show today, Sarah Marsh-Collins and Mercedes Yearly, and we're really looking forward to talking to both of them. I have the ultimate... I was so made up about this.
I'm so excited to hear what it is.
I have the ultimate cheesy tunage. The song itself's rubbish, but it's the title. It's a killer. It's a killer. You're going to love it, Sarah. You really are. Anyway, she's gone quiet. Why's she gone quiet? It's only 7 minutes in. She's normally in full flow.
Yeah, well, I was just tweeting Nurani.
Who?
Zeenat Nurani.
Oh, Zeenat.
Sorry, it's come up with Nurani. I actually have a friend called Nurani as well. In fact, she was my yoga teacher. When I was studying to be a yoga teacher, she was my teacher.
Zeenat does a lot of
Nurani.
Yoga.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this Nurani is living.
No, Zeenat is Zeenat.
I know, but she's Nurani, isn't
she? What are you saying to her?
I'm saying, well, nothing. It's personal. Far too private.
Well, pay attention. We're doing a radio show.
Okay. Well, I was.
You can't get the staff, Mercedes.
No,
you really can't.
She said that she wanted to listen
I'm
in.
I'm not commenting on your staff.
Yeah. Please be a staff.
I think to be staff, you have to get paid, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say,
are you paying us in biscuits?
Yeah, exactly.
Biscuits.
Yeah.
Urban. Yeah. Although I must say, I did snaffle about two walking from the kitchen into the studio, which was a bit odd. Anyway, we've had quite a few tweets, have you noticed?
We've had some tweets. Do you want to read one?
Yeah, I will. Well, Zeenat.
Do you want to get near the microphone so we can hear
Zeenat
you read one?
Zeenat Nurani. Can you not hear me?
Well, I couldn't while you were leaning back, no.
Zeenat Nurani has said that she cannot listen in. She's going to listen on catch-up because she's teaching.
Right.
So
okay.
I was tweeting her back when you ascertained that I was not listening to you. I said, enjoy and say hello to the kids from us.
Mm. Hey, do you know, I compared the Kent Teacher of the Year Award a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's good fun.
Tell me who won.
Pardon?
Who won?
Oh, you're as bad as Gavin. If I told you won't know. There were 50 awards. We've only got two hours.
Which subject did the best teacher teach?
The thing was, there was an award for each subject.
Oh.
So it was the best maths teacher, the best English teacher, the best sports teacher.
Wasn't there like a best overall teacher, you know, a bit like in best in crafts?
Yeah.
Best in shirt.
The one that wears overalls.
Yeah, there was the best teacher.
Best overall, you said.
There was the best teacher.
It's probably a science or cookery.
There was the best teacher with a glossy coat. There was the best teacher with a shiny nose. There was
best teacher with the best stance. Yeah, exactly.
I tell you, there was also the best support staff, and that was won by a school lollipop man.
Oh, that's a lollipop man.
Yeah.
We've had a tweet, and I don't know if I know these
just the
people.
One.
Well, we've had lots. But we've had a tweet from the mad scientists who are IS_instrument.
Oh, I think they may be clients of Sarah's.
They sound scary.
No, they're not. Well, I mean, they're scary intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, they're scientists uncovering the secrets of the universe using the power of light, fluorescence-free Raman
spectroscopy.
I would say Raman.
I like Raman. They're thick noodles.
It's spelled differently.
Just about to say,
Raman.
This is my thing. Raman.
Raman.
No, sorry.
Spectroscopy. Go on, you say it.
Spectroscopy.
So you say it so much better.
Well, I've had more practice.
Spectroscopy.
I still get it wrong.
A couple of glasses of wine and a beer.
I don't even need that most of the time. I can't say it anyway. I usually give up and say instruments.
Oh, look, this is exciting. Going off piste a bit, look. My son, Shay, is 27, and Mimi, his girlfriend, they've been trying to buy a flat. They've been renting in Greenwich. You know the rents in Greenwich, like £2,000 a month thing. So they've been trying to buy a flat in Deptford, paying off student loans at over 6%, both of them, paying £2,000 rent. So they've been trying to buy this little flat in Deptford, a little hovel, like a rat hole, basically, with a balcony that's that big. You just about get a cat on, which they want a cat. They want a dog. They're going to have my dog one because it chews.
Yes, that sounds like a good plan.
Anyway, they found out after 6 months and paying solicitors, and that their solicitor said, do not buy. I've been texting Michael Parks for advice, actually, because they're a huge company and they've got these small blocks of flats, quite a few, and they've got to do the social housing bit as part of their thing. Paul will probably know about this. I didn't know much about it. So the block is empty. There's about 3 rentals, and then somebody, and all these sales keep falling through, and they kept persevering, and they said, and they met the owner, and he said, oh, it's all a load of rubbish, don't listen to you thing. And then Shay did some digging, and people that buy these flats are then taken to court by the council saying, you knew full well that this should have been for social housing. So they've just pulled out, and it's all very dramatic. And why isn't the owner? Why isn't the poor little person who's clubbed together to get a flat? Anyway, long story short, they pulled out on Friday. They're almost homeless. They're living in London Monday to Friday and with us at weekends, or various people. So, like, living out of a shoebox. He just said they went to see somewhere on Friday, a flat, Deptford area, with this beautiful, it's a penthouse with a big, probably a big terrace. And they put an offer in yesterday and they said, we'll think about it. We got more viewings. I was going, oh. And it's just been accepted.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So well done, Shay and Mimi. I look forward. It's got 2 bedrooms.
Just for just very quickly on that, because it happens all the time. It's when governments interfere with things, there's always unintended consequences. They're trying to do the right thing, but it never works, okay? Many years ago, I owned a house in Cornwall. Yeah. And one of the big things about Cornwall, like a lot of other holiday tourist destinations, people like me own second homes, whereas young people that lived in Cornwall and were from Cornwall couldn't afford to buy homes.
Yeah.
So next door to the house I had at the time, the council compulsorily purchased a field and built 20 houses only for sale to young people from the local area. 5 years after the completion, they hadn't sold a single one. And the reason was no one could get a mortgage because the mortgage company won't lend on a restricted purchase.
So what was the purchase restricted?
from a mortgage point of view, their security is the fact if you don't pay the mortgage, they'll repossess the house and sell it. But if it's almost impossible to sell, they can't, so they won't give you a mortgage. So basically, the council built all these places, but no one could get a mortgage on them.
It's very strange, and we ought to have Michael Parks on because...
They do commercial property, so...
They do, but we could speak to somebody else. I couldn't think of a professional that I could ask about this sort of social housing thing, because why are they selling them when the solicitor is clearly saying, do not buy, I do not advise you to buy, but they're on the market. So people spend $2,000-$3,000 on a six-month procedure.
But to be quite frank, no, that makes sense. Yeah, because every new build has to have some element of social housing.
Affordable housing.
Which is affordable housing. And affordable housing doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Certainly not in this part of the world.
Yeah, exactly. It's 10%. I think there's a rule. I don't know exactly what it is. It may be 10% below market value or something like that. But anyone can buy them. So I don't know.
There's a lot more to it, and I would suggest
there was a lot more to it than just the fact that it was social housing. There was some kind of caveat on there where they couldn't buy it because they didn't qualify.
Or do you think it's like some sort of tax? Are they trying to avoid some sort of tax?
No. I would almost guarantee. I don't know the ins and outs, but I'd almost guarantee there was some caveat in the planning on being able to build it, as long as you sold it. I'm being silly here, but as long as you sold it to a blonde woman that was under 5'4", yeah, and they didn't. They just sold it to anyone. But hold on a minute. The planning permission was for only blonde women that were under 5'4", and you're...
I need to get down there.
Yeah, exactly. I was looking at Sarah, that's right. That's what made me think of that.
I've always liked caviar, especially on toast with a glass of champagne.
Yeah, and a dash of lemon juice.
Oh, yeah, delicious.
Very nice.
Right, go on then, read something.
Right, well, I'm just over the moon. I can't wait to go and stay there. So, let's go back to Twitter, and let's see. I saw...
I thought I did.
Jessica Gabb is also part of your posse, I think.
Yeah, she's part of the Mad Scientist.
So your little posse is coming on here. And so she says, learn from yesterday, live for today, hope for tomorrow. She is saying yay and hooray and lots of things like that as well. So she must be young, because anyone that says yay...
She's one of my young friends. It makes me feel cool.
Yeah. And then Martin Reeves and the Vandellas.
Yeah.
You'll know him.
No, without the Vandellas.
Oh, yeah, without the Vandellas. He says, have a great show. And let's just tell you, so that's collectorsbuddy.org.uk. He's based in Ashford in Kent, and he's the founder of Collectors Buddy. Does he have hidden disabilities? So he's got hidden disabilities, and he's seeking a salary, and he wants to get off his disability allowance. So he's fundraising for charities, and he will go and peruse old Lego vintage toys.
Collectibles. He acquires collectibles from Etsy and Facebook, and what's the other one?
eBay?
That's him. eBay. and then sells them at a markup for charity.
He was on your show, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I've had a tweet from Michael Parks, surveyor.
Oh, just talking
and
about
they said,
them.
Tell Jules to mind her own business. No. They said, our favourite Business Bunker show is on air today. We all tuned in and we're listening to a delicious show with Vanilla Webb, that's me, and Jules Serkin.
Well, they got the wrong show.
Because
last week it was my birthday present, so I had chocolates. And you know I had a drippy tummy from the last paella.
You're blaming me? I bought a carver and chocolates, and then she blames me for having a drippy tummy.
I don't.
And what she had was a dodgy prawn,
Not in the chocolates. So I went home with your things, and I still have a bit of a drippy tummy from this paella I had on my final night.
I told you, it's an iffy one in a paella.
And then I sent Paul a little tweet of the chocolates, and I said, I'm going in, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
And we watched a little film on the TV, and my new husband and I ate the whole box. We scoffed the whole box. And
that would be enough to give you a tippy.
Yeah. No, it cured me.
Do you know the royal family? The royal family.
This is inside the knowledge now.
The royal family.
Yeah. Hang on. What,
is that
what,
Jim Royal?
they
Well, that's Jewish. That's kosher.
No, because of what happened to you. They, yeah. They're too busy to have jippy tummies.
Which is why...
I don't think it was the shellfish.
And other such
in
facts.
The paella...
Follow me on Twitter.
In the paella's defence, I think it was a bit of rabbit.
A bit of rabbit.
Yeah, Valencia always has... I really upset them, though. I said, oh, this is a Valenciana, because I have a little house in Valencia. I said, Valenciana paella. She said, no.
She was Russian, was she?
No. She said Valencia.
This Russian woman that was knocking out paella in Valencia. Yeah, we're on the case. Yeah.
Valencia, they have the vegetables. It's called French. They have vegetables. We don't know. We have rabbit.
That's Natalie Benet. You just said Natalie Benet there.
Conejo. Rabbit.
Donkey.
Anyway, so it was. I do believe it wasn't a prawn, but of course the Jewish tradition is not to eat shellfish or pork.
You know why? Yeah. Well, you know why all Middle East religions have the
bottom
same
feeders.
No. The reason is exactly as Mercedes indicated. Shellfish and pork are the first things to go off in hot weather.
Like my husband.
And also, you get that nasty what's that fly gets into the pork meat?
Yeah.
And then it gets into your brain and stuff. That's right.
Tapeworm.
Yeah.
No, it's something else.
Well,
but
maybe the fly would lay the tapeworm egg.
Yeah, they'll do that too.
Coming to think of that, in my swimming pool this morning, I've got ants. Ants coming in.
What would I do?
Swimming in the pool.
Breaststroke. Butterfly.
They're trundling.
Backstroke. Two ants.
No, they're trundling in through the
door. Look, Mum, no ants.
Yeah. No, I fed Darcy some skin.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought would be good, and it wasn't good, was it?
No, but it should be, because it's full of really good oils
exactly.
and stuff.
Exactly. I think I gave her too much.
Too much.
And also, I was lazy. I just slopped two great big salmon, and they might have been, I don't think it was garlic, but it might have had some garlic flavour, because I was using wet garlic. Wet garlic's in season now.
Mm. It doesn't take much to set the greyhounds off.
I've got her on Megaspore probiotics that are £40 a pot.
Ouch.
But they work.
Can I be your dog, please?
Jules, what you need is my dog.
Another dog?
No, he's a street dog.
That's what.
And he eats everything.
Of course.
And it just doesn't even bother him. Mm. I won't tell you the things he's eaten.
Can we have pictures of street dogs?
I will find a picture of street
dog. What does he look like?
He's
got four legs, one at each corner.
He's a brown dog.
Yeah, best.
Literally.
The best dog. And which street was he from?
He's from Ile de Réunion, the Réunion Isles, off of, near Madagascar.
Oh.
I used to live in France.
He's a Madagascar.
Yes.
Oh.
I like that movie.
I do.
Yeah. He wasn't in the movie.
I was sent. Darcy would love to meet him and your dogs. What are they called? I've gone.
Barney and Ellie.
They. You know that Paul really is not a dog person.
I'm getting the feeling. Yeah.
He's looking irritable.
We could change his mind though.
Maybe
we should just bring them in next time.
We've got a dog, yeah. And she's Greek.
Yeah. They've got
Barney's Spanish.
So they've got, well, when I first had Darcy, because she'd had a rough time, she would eat anything. Rough. You know, because she'd been ill-treated for 6 months. Oh, he's lovely. Oh, that's
very
not
cute.
Really brown, is it? That's more tan.
Right, anyway, can we crack on? Oh, that's lovely. Yeah,
we're going to take over. Girls ignore Paul.
Yeah.
More pictures of dogs.
Why don't we have a vet on the show? We did have a vet before.
We've had a vet on the show before. We could just do a dog show.
Yeah.
We've had dog collars and all kinds. Anyway, listen.
Yeah.
I'm desperately keen to play this cheesy tune.
Oh, yeah, you've been going on about it for about an hour now.
I'm going to cut it short anyway, because it's quite a long track, right?
Who's it by?
It's by the Traveling Wilburys.
That's George Harrison, isn't it?
It's George Harrison, Bob Dylan, Tom Petty, Roy Orbison... and Bob Dylan. I said Bob Dylan, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah. I think
good pedigree, then.
Yeah, there was someone else in it as well. I can't think who. Traveling Wilburys, right? And this is dedicated to Sarah, right? Sarah Marsh Collins,
yeah,
a Babel Monkey. I'm building up. I'm building up to it, right? I'm building up to it.
It could be a
It better be good.
Yeah.
this is dedicated to Sarah Marsh Collins and her business, Babel Monkey,
written by George Harrison,
which is a media company, and the song is called Tweeter and the Monkey.
Oh, no! Who ever named it?
Listen to this. Yes.
Who ever named that?
listen to Traitor and the Monkey by the Traveling Wilburys.
They stayed up all night selling cocaine hash to an undercover cop who had a sister named Jan. For reasons unexplained, she loved the Monkey Man. Queda was a bus stop before she went to Vietnam and found out the hard way nobody gives a damn. They knew to get my freedom just across the Jersey line, so they hopped into a stolen car took Highway 99.
And the walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw the witness standing, never saw the witness fell. The undercover cop never liked the Monkey Man. Even back in childhood, he wanted to see him in the can. Jan got married at 14 to a racketeer in Bill. She made secret calls to the Monkey Man from a mansion on the hill. It was out on Thunder Road, Twitter at the wheel. They crashed into paradise, they could hear them tires squeal. The undercover cop pulled up and said, everyone is a liar. If you don't surrender now, it's gonna go down to the wire.
And the walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw the witness standing, never saw the witness fell.
An ambulance rolled up, a straight trooper close behind. Twitter took his gun away and messed up his mind. The undercover cop was left tied up to the stand by the old abandoned factory. Next day, the undercover cop was a hot pursuit. He was taking the whole thing personal, he didn't care about the loot. Janet told him many times it was you to me who taught. Just Jersey, anything's legal as long as you don't get caught.
And the walls came down, all the way to hell. Never saw the witness standing, never saw the witness fell.
Undercover cop was cornered and said, "Boy, you didn't think that this could last." Jan jumped up out of bed, said, "It's someplace I gotta go." She took a gun out of the truck. The undercover cop was found face down in a field. The Monkey Man was on the river bridge using Twitter as a shield. Jan said to the Monkey Man, "I'm not fooled by Twitter's curl.
Dylan.
That was Bob Dylan.
And a tweeter.
I'm so made up by this. Tweeter and the Monkey, eh? How about that?
You're up all night.
Yeah.
Searching.
Have you got a song for me?
No, we only do one. What would you like, Mercedes?
Mercedes exits.
Stage left, yeah.
It would have been driving in my car or something, wouldn't it? I mean, that's what I would
No,
have
but
done.
That's wrong, isn't it? Because that's what my new husband thought, and it's all wrong.
I know, but that's the whole point of the cheesy tunies, Jules. 15 years I've been doing
really?
This. You've got the point of
that's
it by
very
now.
Subtle.
What would you have picked for Mercedes? Come on in. Come on in, Smarty. What would you have picked for Mercedes?
She's drama or therapy. meet me at the kissing gate. I don't know. You've got to give me time to think. You sit there in your pajamas every night thinking about
it. No, see, what I would have done if
you
it was a bit... What I would have picked
Go on,
if it was Mercedes was Soul Train.
Quest Soul Theatre.
That's very clever. And Mercedes has just joined us all on Twitter, so do follow her.
Yes,
you will find her at Quest Kick
C-I-C
Q-U-E-S-T as in Quest with a C-I-C on it. Quest
Kick. It stands for Community Interest Company.
I love it. And front of her Twitter, you will see her lovely little... where was he from? Venezuela, no.
No, Reunion Isles of Africa. He's come a long
Chico.
Way.
And he was wearing a little party hat.
Yeah, that was Christmas. He was he was called Petit Cochon.
Little pig.
But I think they were like, oh yes, he has a very small little face. I was like, that must mean.
Listener, they're talking about dogs and waving pictures of dogs around in the studio again. Hey, listen, anyway, listen, the Travelling Wilburys with...
George Harrison. George Harrison. That'll rock to number one now, that tune. Because you played it.
Anyway, the Travelling Wilburys with Twitter and the Monkey was in homage to our first guest today, the absolutely delightful Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey.
Hello, Paul. Thank you.
Sarah, welcome back onto the show. You have been on the show before quite a while ago now, and I thought it'd be just nice to get you back on because you're very proactive and active in a number of areas, and both you and Mercedes actually have joined me recently on 30-30s in schools.
Yeah, that's right.
Where we talk to young people about the world of work, which I'm very grateful for both of you supporting us in that.
Yeah,
it was great fun. Yeah. So, anyway, why don't you kick off a little bit by telling us a bit about Sarah? Because you've been on the move a little bit lately as well, haven't you? You've been there and back and back there and over here and then over there and back there and around here and all
One minute she's having a cream tea.
Yeah.
The next minute she's having Kentish cider.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing wrong with Kentish cider. There's some good Somerset cider down there as well, but hey ho.
I've got to tell you a story. My partner Amanda and our stepdaughter Lucy, who's 11, they've got horses in a stable. And they came home the other day, and Lucy was giggling her head off. And I said, "What's the matter with you?" She said, "I had some cider." And I went, "Where'd you get that from?" She said, "Mum was drinking it." And I'm going, "Your mum's got a stash of cans of cider at the stables." Yeah.
For mucking out, it's essential.
Yeah.
It's thirsty work, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah,
especially in this weather.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to interrupt, Sarah. You were about to tell us all about you.
My father was a diplomat, so I spent a lot of time travelling all around the world. When I was younger, born in Bangkok,
Bangkok?
Yeah.
Wow.
Came back to the UK for a couple of years, well, not quite a couple of years. When I was nearly just over two, we moved to Malawi, to Lilongwe.
Can you remember that?
Yes, it was the first place I ever thought was home.
Wow. I bet you had a wonderful childhood there, sort of running wild.
It was
wild,
amazing, yeah. The only thing was that you weren't allowed to walk barefoot on the grass because you'd get hookworm, and I wasn't allowed off the kondi, which is what we called the veranda, after dark, because basically the hyenas would have taken me away because I was so small. So those were the rules. After that, we moved to Bangladesh, spent 14 months in Bangladesh.
What age were you there?
I was nearly six when we got there, and I was seven when we left.
Wow.
And then we moved to Belgium. We spent 3.5 years in Brussels.
That must have been a bit restrictive.
That must have been a shock.
It was.
All those
it was
nice
cold.
Places to Belgium.
Yeah. But, you know, the chocolate's made up for it.
Oh, yeah.
But, and then my dad said, good news, Sarah, the office has posted us home. And I went, we're going back to Malawi. And and he said, no, we're going home to England. I was like, why is that home? I don't remember ever living there. And we came back, and, I went to boarding school. And did my GCSEs and then went out to join my parents in Indonesia for 3.5 years and completed high school out there. Came back here for a bit and then went out to Warsaw because my parents were in Poland for a bit of a... And I sort of fancied a bit of a change. So, yeah, lots of travelling. Mm. And then, yes, you're dead right, Paul, since coming back to the UK, I've done a bit of living around different parts of England.
It's kind of in your DNA, really, isn't it? You can't sit still. Really. Yeah, yeah, I get that.
So, yes, used to live in the lovely St. Michael's, which was amazing.
Whereabouts in St. Michael's?
Do you know Heather Drive?
I do.
Opposite the Crown.
I used to go to school with her, I think, Heather Drive.
Mm. Sorry, say again.
Opposite the Crown pub. Was it the Crown
pub? Yes, yes.
So, yes, I lived there for a while, and then I actually lived on Ashford Road, actually just near the petrol station for a while.
That sounds scenic.
Yeah, no, not necessarily terrible. Anyway, never
mind. And do your dogs, your Springer and your other one, whatever it was, one that thinks it's a water spaniel or something, or the Breton, of course.
Yeah.
Do they adapt well to moving about?
Yes, they kind of, they're a bit like me. Home is actually the people, your people, as opposed to actually a place.
Knapsack, do they?
Yes, they're like little travelling hobos. Yes, Dick Whittington and his cat sort of thing, you know.
My son's grandfather lives in Heather Drive.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Jeff Turner. Number 32.
Okay, well, I lived at number 22.
Right.
So I will have a word, because I'm still friendly. I was with my ex-fiancé. I did marry one of them in between.
Have as many as you like.
There's no limit. Yeah. I mean, Jules has been married half a dozen times. I mean.
But I'm still trying to find the right religion.
Yeah.
I still have not had a Buddhist.
Well,
or a Sikh.
Oh.
Yeah, I would like a Sikh next.
Texting. Food would be great.
Tweet the show now.
Yeah. Tweet in now, yeah.
My new husband might be upset.
I think he might be, yeah.
Trying to inject some sort of story about you moving around the world. You've experienced so many cultures, albeit, I guess, you know, from a point of view that it's kind of...
Protected
as diplomats, so you'd live on some kind of compound, presumably.
Not necessarily. Okay. The Americans do, right. But say when we were doing all the travelling, most of the time we didn't.
Okay.
So, some of the postings, but we didn't end up with any of those. I mean, we were just basically in...
You had a nice house.
We did have nice houses.
Of all the places that you lived overseas, have you a favourite?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I loved Jakarta.
Right, okay.
That was amazing. And, you know, popping off to Bali was a bit like most people pop off to Spain. Mm. So, yeah, Bali 3 times, Lombok 2 times.
Lombok, I was just about to say, when I was looking at going on holiday, I looked at Bali and thought it was a bit touristy now. You know,
it was then as well.
Parties and things. Mm. And I went to Lombok. It was amazing. My new husband decided not to use the where we were staying guy to take a canoe to one of the Gilis, islands, as they're called, Gilis. And he decided to go on his own. And so he swam across this little island and back. And he's a bit mad, my husband. And when he got back, the guide said, you just swam over there. And he said, yeah, yeah. He said, oh, well, we call that Snake Island. And
there's oh, nice.
Deadly black snakes in the sea.
Yes, yes.
And you're dead in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and the sharks, of course. Don't forget about the sharks.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw one of those, actually. I was snorkeling off Sepa Island, which is one of the thousand islands out there.
One of the Gillies.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the islands there are just so beautiful. They are literally like something out of the sort of glossy brochures that you get. White sand and, well,
the
not particularly
so
white.
Clear,
it's so
it?
Clear. And
the people are so sweet.
Very friendly.
Yeah.
Very friendly. Food's fantastic. And yeah, snorkeling away. My dad was with me, actually. And I sort of looked down at 10 feet to the right of me. There was a baby shark. So I sort of immediately started swimming back towards the group. My dad said all he could see was this V of water was from my snorkel. So I was like, trying to get back to the group. What's going on? It's like the mummy's going to be around somewhere. So I'm not going to back up.
Over the sharks, do they have killers?
Yeah, they have mako sharks are particularly prevalent over there, and they are man-eaters.
I wish you'd told me before we went snorkeling in Lombok.
Probably the best I didn't.
Yeah, I got attacked by a tiger shark once.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Did it survive?
In the Indian Ocean. Yeah, it took a bite out. It took a bite out of our boat, I tell you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Right, anyway, so you've travelled around... Jakarta was your favourite out of all those places, but it sounds like you have a bit of affection for a lot of the places that you lived.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is lovely.
Yeah.
So you're back in England now, and you're kind of back in Kent now as well, but not in St Michael's at
the moment. Not in St Michael's, no. It's more South East London, unfortunately.
We're all somewhere. So tell us about your business, and tell us about your business journey, if you don't mind.
Sure. Okay. So I created Babel Monkey back in February of 2014.
How did you choose the name?
She heard it on a record track by the Travelling Wilburys.
I wanted something with monkey in the title because marketing really is all about communication, and monkeys obviously, and it's a bit. It sounded a bit boring to have, you know, Babel Human would have been a bit boring. So, you know, I wanted something with monkeys because they're fun. It's quite a... You can have a lot of fun with monkey things, if you like.
Yeah.
And then Babel actually comes from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Because, the Babel fish.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't understand social media. And so the idea is that we translate the world of social media. We don't only do social media, but that seems to be the thing that people really pick up on. Mm. Whereas, you know, there aren't that many people who go, oh, I need a blog. But a lot of people, when you start talking to them, they say, oh, yes, you're LinkedIn. I really need to do something with that, and I don't know what to do. So, you know, that's where the name came from. But it has been mistaken for the tower. It sort of works because it's all, you know, lots of different languages, so...
I mean, that is a bit of the backstory to Babel Fish in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, isn't it? Which is a fish that you stick in your ear.
Yeah, and it translates
and it translates, which is an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Okay. So, when did you start Babel Fish?
Babel Monkey.
See, now I've done it. Babel Monkey. Babel. I beg your pardon.
The answer is 62 or something, isn't it? I can't remember.
42.
So, we started in February 2014.
Right.
And my first client was actually the boss that I had quit working for when I moved from a place at Brands Hatch up to Buckingham.
Right. She didn't tell us about this, did she?
St. Michael's, Buckingham. So sort of started there. Went to work with a social media agency who actually taught me how to use social media for a bit at that point. I didn't,
right.
But appreciated I need to be more than just a copywriter.
Yeah.
So,
is that what your background was, copywriting?
Not really. I started out in catering, ended up running restaurants. Then I moved into recruitment, and then I placed myself from recruitment into a marketing job for a company that sold high-end car care products at Brands Hatch. And then I left there because we were moving to Buckingham, and I went to work for one of the manufacturers of the car care products that we were selling there. And then when that didn't work out, I just carried on with the marketing vein because actually it's
what you knew, what you love,
and what I love. Yeah.
What's your star sign?
I'm a Leo.
Oh, I might forget.
See, I love your story because it's eclectic and it's all over the shop.
Yeah, there wasn't a plan.
And I was talking a dear friend of mine and I had lunch yesterday and we were talking about. And she'd just done startups and stuff. And I just made one of the points that I quite often make, that I've never set a goal in my life. Everybody says you should have goals, and I go, nah. But if I had goals, I've missed 90% of the opportunities I've taken because I'm a bit like you, not quite as bad as you, but I'm a bit like you, which is all over the place. I'll just follow my nose and then do this, do that, and see where it leads.
Well, it served you well.
Yeah. Well, and it's and you too. And, you know, I like, you know, it doesn't suit everybody, that approach to life, but I do like it. I like the fact that you do something, then you do something else, and then you find something. You go, oh, I'll have a go at that. I'll do this.
The culture right now for a lot of young people, it used to be when my dad worked at the same company, you know, for 50 years, and that's what you did.
Yeah.
Whereas now, a lot of young people are jumping from job to job. Mm. Opportunity. It's a different kind of culture out there now. So there's not that, oh, you worked for this company and
there's no such thing as a job for life.
Yeah, it's different.
I was made redundant from my first job when I was 16. Well, I started when I was 14, and I was made redundant when I was 16. And the next job I went to, I didn't like, so I only stayed 6 months, and then I moved. My dad beat the hell, he literally beat me up, because he said, you've ruined your life. you know, you've had three jobs and you're not even 17 yet. That's it. No one will ever employ you again.
Yeah.
And it shows you, you're right, Mercedes, how things have changed. Mm. Even if you wanted a job for life, it's never going to exist because the rate of change is too great, isn't it? You know, just things just move underneath you, even if you are thinking about doing that.
Yeah. The only kind of security you have on that is if you own your own business. If you own your own business.
Yeah, and even...
But even then you have
even
to...
Even that,
adapt.
You know, you're at the vagaries of this idiot government that we've got that do really ridiculous things, you know.
Yes, really unhelpful things.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I know myself with some of my own companies and lots of people that I know have very successful... All of a sudden, the government kicked things away from underneath them, you know, with their stupid ideas and what have you. And so even that you can't rely on. You know, you just have to keep on your toes and you have to be adaptable.
I always say with politics, it really doesn't matter who's in power. We just have to survive them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What was it? Ronald Reagan said the worst 9 words in the English language are, "I'm from the government, I'm here to help."
Yeah. Death knell.
So, Babel Fish. It's not Babel Fish, it's Babel Monkey.
Yeah. I'm just going to sit here doing that.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. The Dark Tea Time of the Soul was one of the other follow-up books to that, wasn't it? Anyway.
I don't know, it was actually my ex-husband that came up with the Babel Fish.
Oh, was it? And the last book in the series was So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. Tell us more about the kind of things that you do with Babel Monkey.
Okay, so we're here to create chatter about people online. But the way we do that is by using social media channels, the ones that are appropriate to their audience, because not every audience is on every platform.
Absolutely.
So it's very important to get that message across to people. You get a lot of people who are like, oh, I've got to be on Instagram, I've got to be on TikTok, I've got to be on Facebook. It's like, you don't need to be on all of those things.
Yeah.
So we can either actually run campaigns whereby we manage somebody's profiles for them on a day-to-day basis.
Yep.
And we also offer evergreen plans, which are the affordable way for businesses to dip their toe into the world of social media. So,
Or they could tip their toe.
They could tip their toe. and then we also write blogs, we write website copy. People think that, okay, you know, I mean, there's a lot of websites out there that have typos and grammatical errors, and people think it's easy because they've got A-level English. It means that they can, you know, put a website together. But actually, marketing copy is really quite different to, you know, sort of telling a story. Although it is telling a story.
Yeah, absolutely right. And I just want to ask you a question there as well about copy on websites and what have you. Because people will put up a website, they'll put up some stuff on it, yeah, and then walk away and leave it.
Yes. Yeah, you've built your shop window, but you're not telling anybody it's there.
Yeah.
Yes. People are only going to find it at that rate if they fall over it by accident. And this is the thing with the way that the algorithms and search engines work. You've really got to be, your company has to be being talked about on a third-party platform in order for the search engines to really kick in.
Yeah.
So it's really important for SEO. Mm. And also you need to be, you know, you need to mix up the media you have on your website. You need to make sure that you've SEO'd it properly. You need to make sure that you've got... not too many words. There are a lot of websites out there that are really text heavy. So stuff like that. So yeah, we do that.
And presumably, you know, again, also you need to refresh that every now and again. If you just leave the same blogs up year after year, you know, it's just going to be boring. So you do need new material all the time.
You do, and it's one thing that I mean, especially for. When you own your own business, you always find that the thing that you do for other people is the thing that doesn't get done for you.
So
actually, Darren Will from Intune PR has been absolutely brilliant sort of helping me with that. And he came up with this, you know, there's been a lot of talk about AI and ChatGPT and stuff at the moment.
Yeah.
And so we've just launched a campaign called same, because it's all very well having all of these AI tools and stuff, but and they are very clever and they are learning, but you're always going to miss out on that quintessential thing that makes us human. And you're, you know, I say to people sometimes, you know, when you know you're talking to a bot, you know you're talking to a bot. So let's say you have a conversation with your bank. You're asking a basic question like, how do I put a check in these days? and you'll get the chatbot answers, and you know it's a robotic thing or an AI thing. It's fine.
So they will say, hi, Sarah, how is your day? When you've typed your problem and you don't want to be asked how your day is, you just want them to answer.
Yes.
You're busy.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know, it's fine when you know that it is a bot, but when you know, that there are some out there that are so good that they can actually pretend that they are humans, and you think you've been having a conversation with a human. And when you then subsequently discover it's a bot, for me anyway, I feel like I've been cheated, because I felt like I had a moment of human connection, and then actually I didn't. It's like, I don't know, the only thing I can compare it to is like making out with somebody and then realising they're underage or something along those lines. Do you know what I mean? It just,
yeah,
just
okay.
Feels a bit odd.
I'm the wrong person to tell that, because I've worked in technology over 50 years, and I think technology now is one of the biggest drains to productivity there is. Yeah. Corporate implementation of technology is so atrocious that we're in danger of going backwards.
Yes.
In my humble opinion. We did a whole show a few months ago where I just went through a dozen things that happened to me personally from big corporates, mm-hmm. with their stupid computer say no nonsense. Culminating in a famous one about HSBC Bank, you idiots.
That's my bank.
Who wouldn't talk to me because I didn't know my date of birth. And I assured them I did, because I was there at the time.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
At your birth.
Yeah.
Although you might not remember it. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I said, I'll get my mum on the phone. She was there too. Clearly, they'd copied it down wrong, but they didn't have a process for handling that. Yeah, it was just computers saying no, so we can't talk to you. And I've got dozens of examples like that from big corporates who's, even when you get to speak to a human, the human still can't do anything, because everything's driven by digital interaction. And the thing that bothers me about AI and all the rest of it is that that's just going to get worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the technology. It's the implementation of the technology that's bad.
And that's always that's kind of our point with Save the Human, is these AI tools, they're great, but they're tools. Mm. They should never have the final word. Mm. So yes, I had the same sort of thing. When I got married, I changed my name to my married name. My bank had known me as Marsh Collings for about 15, 20 years. Mm. It took one marriage certificate to change it to O'Keefe. Mm. And then when I tried to change it back to Marsh Collings, because I changed it first by deed poll before I had my divorce certificate, I wouldn't change it back. Mm. Wouldn't change it back unless I jumped through about 15 different hoops. And I was like, you've been accepting checks under my maiden name. And you've known me as that for 15 years. And now you want me to go and have something signed by a notary under the waning moon of a silver harvest or whatever. It was just, yeah.
It's crazy stuff, isn't it? And there's no real human interaction anymore. Even when you get to speak to a human, it's all, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'll tell you very quickly, a very classic one. I started getting text messages from HomeServe saying, your emergency gas engineer will be with you at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. I didn't need a gas engineer, and I don't have a contract with HomeServe. They clearly had the wrong mobile number. Do you think I could convince them of that? I eventually found, I won't tell you the whole story because we're running out of time, but I eventually got through to a human there, and I said, you've got the wrong phone number. Oh, sorry. I went, what you need to do is put my phone number into your database and see who it relates to, and then try and contact that person another way and get their correct number. I can't do that. The computer won't let me. So for the next 3 months, they just kept texting me every Monday, so getting more and more desperate. We sent someone and you weren't there.
Mm.
Yeah.
What can you do?
Eventually, I just block them and get on with it then.
No, yeah. I had a similar experience with the NHS. Mm. But, you know, just sort of like somebody, you know, my mum couldn't make an appointment. Mm. She couldn't get through on any of the telephone numbers that were on the top of the letter. When she finally got to speak to somebody by ringing a number she wasn't supposed to ring, they went, oh, yeah, they're sorry, those two phone numbers have been out of service for months.
Yeah.
And my mum's like, but you keep talking about missed appointments and how much it costs the NHS.
I had exactly a similar thing with my mum. I got a thing that said, if you can't make this appointment, ring our appointments line and cancel it. So I rang the number and I said, my mum can't make this appointment. And again, we can't do anything about that.
Because you're not your mum. Oh, because
I said, but it says on the letter to ring you if she can't make it. Yeah, but you see, it's a consultant and you need to phone the consultant. Well, what's the consultant's phone number? Well, we can't tell you that.
We're not coming.
I'm just telling you, we're not coming.
Do the information as you see fit.
Yeah. Okay, so Sarah, a Babel Monkey, 2014, so that's 6, 7, 8, 9 years now.
Indeed, yeah.
Are we having a party at 10?
We definitely are.
Yeah,
because
excellent.
Let's face it, the last 3 years have been rather challenging.
They've been a bit difficult, haven't they? Yeah. So you've already mentioned AI and chatbots and things like that, so presumably you're incorporating that kind of approach into the stuff that you're doing?
I have a GPT account just to play with it, but
yeah.
I don't really need it. I'm quite lucky, I suppose, when I sit down to write, so I don't really need the prompts, and I guess that comes from experience.
Okay.
I'm not averse to using it, and certainly AI, I mean, you know, my mad scientists, they actually write algorithms and they do machine learning stuff. I promote it better than that normally.
Machine stuff.
Yeah, machine learning things. It's all very clever. And there is, you know, when you're actually at a point where you're removing humans from a dangerous situation by using machine learning, AI, and automation, then fantastic. They're putting it to use in nuclear decommissioning, in infrastructure building, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it's very, it, like I say, has its uses, and we're all for that. Completely bash AI, but certainly, what's the point if you can't keep the human connection? And
I'm a great believer in retro things. Things come around in cycles and circles and stuff like that. And I think in over the next 10 years or so, you'll find a lot of businesses start to open that only have humans.
Absolutely.
And only have human
interaction. It's going to become a selling point.
Yeah.
It's like, I
don't know if they still do it. Many years ago, Coutts and Company, the bank, still wrote their statements by hand.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mind you, it's Coutts. So.
Yeah, exactly. So they've only got 3 customers. Yeah. The Queen and...
well, they can afford to pay for it.
But they were still very old school because, you know, it was something different.
Mm.
And I think there's a place for that. That offer a personal service based on humans because people get so fed up dealing with computers and digital technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. And also I think we're going to very quickly get to the stage where the search engines are going to start picking up on websites that only have AI-generated content.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to start spanking them for it.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Listen, as always, Sarah, it's great to talk to you. Thank you for sharing your journey, both personally around the world and your journey with Babel Monkey. If people want to find out more about your business, what's the best way to do that?
You can either drop us a line at sarah@babelmonkey.co.uk. We have a website, which is, funnily enough, babelmonkey.co.uk. And we're on Twitter as babelmonkeyme. You can find us on Facebook, but I would suggest you didn't. And we're on LinkedIn as well. So Babel Monkey Media on LinkedIn or Sarah Marsh Collings. There is only one. So you will find me on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for that, Sarah. It's a pleasure to see you, hear from you and talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Sarah Marsh Collins, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've got 2 minutes or so before we join the newsroom.
Yeah, fed up residents say their town has lost its vibrancy, investment has plummeted and the high street has declined ever since international rail links were ripped away during the pandemic.
Mm.
The Eurostar, which has stopped running services from Ashford and Ebbsfleet when COVID-19 forced the UK into lockdown, 3 years on, it's still unclear if they will ever return. It's left residents in Ashford, some of whom moved to the town specifically for the transport link to the continent, seething to see the once bustling station so deserted. Seems like lots of things have never gone back. I had my Vodafone that chat bot said, "Hi Jules, due to unprecedented situation or whatever it is." I said it was 3 years ago. Yeah. You cannot still be
writing. You can't still be blaming COVID.
Yeah. It's bonkers,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I want to rip down every sign in a loo saying how to wash your hands.
Oh God, me too.
And I have done actually.
But the International Station.
My mother taught me when I was two.
The International Station is a classic example of pork barrel politics again. Yeah, they built something that cost millions and millions of pounds. Shut it. It's empty. Yeah. There's a massive international station there that's empty. It's
I
just
didn't realise that they'd stopped running trains from there.
Yeah,
they have. It's a white elephant.
Yeah.
Really.
And then you go down to Dover, and you can't get on a boat at Dover because the traffic's 19 miles long back because everything goes down that silly little road to Dover.
Yeah,
you can't get a train from Ashford. If you want to go on Eurostar, you now have to go to London to come back. The train goes through Ashford. It just doesn't stop.
It's
just bonkers. I mean,
and they don't want us to drive.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've noticed the amount of freight on the roads is really picking up, isn't it? Freight everywhere. So we're going over to the newsroom.
We are going over to the newsroom. Any minute now. So I just want to read you this tweet from Chips and Dinks. She says, "On air today at 1 o'clock, wondering if Jules Sirkin is over her jet lag. Thank you for bringing us the summer at last. It's going to be a good Business Bunker show
I'm
today.
Over